Okie dokie. This is our class number 5 of the Spiritual Power for Success Momentum course. Today's date is December 8th, 2016. We've got some really out there in the world, fly out of the nest content for today. So let's begin with our reading out loud, setting the energetics for the class. Each of you please reading the purpose of the course, then we're going to do our grounding, then we're going to do a review of certain things from class number 4, then we'll go into new content. So who would like to read the purpose statement first?
I'll read.
Okay, thank you.
The purpose of this course, bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating life that you long to live personally and professionally.
Yay. Great.
Purpose of this course. Bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so let's make sure, as you probably already know this, to be in the Facebook group, right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
So let's have you scroll down to the steps of the complete soul alignment protocol, which if you scroll down, it'll say December 1st. And I just want you to read that over just to remind yourself. Did everybody find it there?
Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And now, okay, great, thank you. And now please go ahead and do your full soul alignment protocol, including the transmissions of grace, and then stay ready when you've done that. And then I will do my usual going around the room where you give some feedback on the experience, and then we'll go to the next step.
Ready.
Thank you.
Ready.
Okay. So let's have you give us some feedback on what stood out for you this time in doing the soul alignment protocol. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that it flowed so easily that there weren't demarcations between this step and this step. It was they blended and built on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I got to the transmissions of grace, it was like we've been holding the space for you.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. So they were there while you were walking through the steps. They were already there.
They were already there, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, by now they would be because you've worked with me for so long, so that's beautiful. Great. Anything else? That's wonderful, but is there anything else that you want to add?
No. That was very... I'm full.
Yes. Okay, how about you, Barb?
Well, what came to me during the process was remembering that my soul is my best friend. And that made me wonder if my soul is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Nope. You go ahead.
So what else was part of your experience?
The usual tingling and I let that work up through my body for the transmissions of grace. So really, that thought about my soul was the primary new experience.
That's wonderful. So I would just like to address that for a moment for you. And that is, I personally have not yet come up with a definition of the difference between spirit and soul. Some people have a perspective on that, and I mean, I could spout what they say, but I don't like to do that. I need to get this kind of information from my own source, you know. And so what I would suggest that you consider, Barb, is to talk to your minister. You go to a church, right?
Right.
And right. Just ask your minister, whether it's, you know, in person or on the phone, if you feel moved to do any of this, and that is to ask him to explain to you the difference between the Holy Spirit and each individual's personal soul.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good thought. Thank you.
Yeah. And before you speak to your minister, is that the right word? Minister, preacher, pastor?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before you speak to him, I would suggest that you ask your soul the same question and go as far as you can by talking to your own soul, your own intuition. Your soul talks through your intuition. The intuition, my perspective is that the intuition is a channel. It's a function. It's a doorway through which our soul talks to us, our spirit guides talk to us, and angels talk to us. So it's not just one particular source. It's more like a room through which all these other beings walk through to communicate and register in our human conscious mechanism, right? So for you to get your own answers first, as far as you can go, would be very interesting, and then hear what he has to say.
And it's been during this course, or maybe during the summer, that I came to realize that there's a hierarchy, and so that the transmissions of grace aren't the ultimate or the only.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not. Yes. There are amazing hierarchies, and not only hierarchies, but specialists. I mentioned that in either a membership call or someplace where there are actual specialists of certain functions and themes, just like we would hire a specialist to do something that we needed in the house or in our health, you know?
Right.
So, yes. Okay, good. So now, let's go ahead with our review. The purpose of what we're really going to be focusing on today is to keep deepening your confidence, your clarity, and your comfort level with these various tools. We're always going to be doing that with each class. And then I'm going to be teaching you another belief system exercise, and I will edit it out so it stands by itself so that you can use it as a standalone. And then we're going to talk about this email sequence. So anybody have any questions about anything that's burning before I go into that whole rollout?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Great. So let's start off with each of you telling us what you've noticed in terms of more momentum since our last session. Who wants to go first?
Well, I have just a burning desire to say that I had an amazing day yesterday, spoke at East Bay Women's Network, got 3 new clients,
woo-hoo!
And I was just so comfortable in front of the group and answering questions afterwards. And my angels and guides were in the room with me, and I just like, yes, I knew what I wanted to say, and I had so much confidence. I got a really good testimonial from someone in the room. It was a fabulous day.
Oh, Mary! My cat is looking at me like, what happened to Mom? The other one is coming in with the same look on her face.
Yeah.
That is so fabulous. Now, when you said three clients, you know how I am, right? So
yeah.
I'm going to ask very specific, detailed questions. So define for me, this is good for you too, Barb, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Define for me what you mean when you say, I have three new clients.
They have paid me for a session.
That is correct. That is the definition of a new client. Okay, so now, did they pay in full? Now I'm going to another layer, because I know you, Barb knows you. We know the things that you're healing, right?
Right.
So was this a full pay for all three?
It was a full pay for two of them. One of them I had donated an hour for the auction that we did, and she actually had filled out the form, but she bought the auction item. So,
okay.
in essence, she paid something, but not to me.
Okay, great. So congratulations on the two that you pocketed. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations on having an opportunity that's around the bend with this person for you to sell her something. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what would you say? Let me see how I want to phrase this. Hang on a second. When you reflect on the variables that contributed to you having such a wonderful day of sales and confidence and a testimonial, what would you say comes to mind as how your inner world created that outer world?
I would say that I set myself up with the visualization and creating the whole scenario of intention. And knowing that I had a really good talk, and the fact that I had a really good talk didn't mean that I was going to present it perfectly, because that sometimes just something different comes out, but it's right for the moment. And I have learned from what I've done previously and how I want, and made improvements, and going in there to be the best me was all I could do.
Yeah. And did you get any sign-ups for strategy sessions?
No, we had a really odd arrangement with our vendor tables, and I had some good conversations with a couple of people that I'm going to follow up with, but didn't get any strategy sessions.
Okay. So when you follow up with these people, when did this happen yesterday, right?
Right.
I would recommend that you write your follow-up emails to them tonight. How many people are there?
Three.
Okay. So I would suggest that you write your emails tonight and that you make the calls and leave messages tomorrow. And that you say that you have times on Monday if that would work for them, and for them to tell you what they have on Monday, either in response to the email that you sent them or just to leave you a voicemail.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't wait any longer than today to get the first email out, okay?
Right.
Okay, great. Well, that is momentum. Why is that momentum? What do I mean by momentum?
It's riding the waves of small positive steps and seeing results.
I like that definition.
Right. What's momentum to you, Barb, dear?
Moving forward, feeling strong, and going for it, and focusing and accomplishing, just being able to push forward.
Yeah, I would say that momentum. I mean, I'm not looking at any dictionary description here, but I would say that momentum is where there is a flow of action steps, and those action steps are bringing results. You heard me say signs of land.
Yep.
Where it's really showing that all of that invested time and things that we've actually done, physical plane things that we've done and internal things that we've done, actually have a response in the outer world that we really can't mistake. I mean, it's that obvious. That's what I mean by momentum. And like since you brought that up in the Facebook comment, Barb, about, you know, to give an example of my campaigns, my email campaigns, et cetera. And then I told you that my Thanksgiving special, both to have a strategy session with me and also a discounted Power Hour special offer, all those emails were part of the campaign. And what was momentum for me was I don't have a very responsive list. You know, that is my current, one of my current learning curves in my own business operations is mastering the list, you know. And so for me, a sign of land was a couple of people emailed me back and just said, great, good, you know, good luck, something, you know, and somebody else, who was just kicking tires, you know, just made some kind of a comment like she really was interested, but she never followed through with anything. But that was momentum, you know. For me, I took it, you know, as momentum. And then I did have, I mean, this was just, you know, a flash idea that came at the last minute. So I didn't start building up to it days before Thanksgiving. I think I did it 2 days before Thanksgiving or something like that. And I opened up my schedule because sometimes, like, you know me by now, I get these ideas and it's like really late in the game, you know, but I'm working on that too. And so this one person did go ahead and schedule a strategy session. Mm-hmm. So there was one response, which I was very grateful for, you know, off of my non-responsive list. And then I also got $1,000 in sales on that particular. Yeah. It was either $1,000 or $900 or $1,100, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Because somebody bought a bundle of those hours. Now, and that was off of a Facebook post. So that was momentum. You know, given that I started like the day before and I kept it going for a couple of days with the typical, you know, next day wrote something, 2 days later wrote something, the same assignment I gave you, I do for myself. That's momentum, okay? Any response is momentum. And the response can also be just response within you. Like, you know, Mary has, both of you, Barb, have every right to give the interchanges that you've experienced in yourself in terms of confidence, in terms of courage, in terms of acting on creative ideas. Those are all indications of momentum, right?
Mm. Yes.
So that's why, again, I ask you to stay very close relationship with your journal is to jot these things down. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep. All right, so now we've got, how about momentum for you, Ms. Barb? Now, before you answer, my guidance is inserting this, is be very mindful of how you reference yourself. And my invitation for you from now and, of course, in our private sessions and throughout this course, I'm going to be listening for you speaking about yourself and your current life in empowering terms. How does that sound?
Interesting.
And Mary, do you know why I've given her that assignment or that mindfulness to keep?
To stay in the present moment.
And what else?
And to recognize the progress that she's made.
Which means being...
in alignment with your soul purpose.
And for her ego, which is, we all have egos and they need to be loved, what would watching how she talks about herself, how would that appear?
That's combating the inner demons that are the fear that keeps you from moving forward.
Well, the fear and also the lack of self-worth. That's what I'm after, is self-love and self-worth. But all of these things you were right on, Mary.
Okay,
Barb, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, in fact, Mary, you've never had that issue. You know, with all the stuff that you've gone through in the years that we've known each other and worked together, you never spoke negatively about yourself. You were frustrated about how slow it took for things in the outer world to start improving, right?
Right. Very frustrated.
Right. But you have never really demeaned yourself. Whereas Barb, that's something that I'm watching with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So now, so based on that, please give me your update of where you've seen and felt momentum, please.
I reached out to client who's been stuck for a while.
No, excuse me for interrupting. So your client has been stuck. What does that mean? Oh, my God, I just found a...
Too busy to respond to my questions. So I took a different approach. And we were able to do some things by phone.
Okay, so the momentum was what?
Well, I said, there's money lying on the table.
No, hang on. What was the momentum that you reached out to her, that you didn't just fold over and die because she was just not responding? Is that my momentum?
Yes, that I reached out and realized that I could do something about her stuckness, that I was letting her be stuck, and that I could take action and do something about that. It sort of momentum comes to me in sort of energy. So I also submitted a contract to a group that wants to work with me. It's just a matter of getting all the I's and the T's and the whatnot. And sort of doing those things, you know, poosh, all in the same day.
Wonderful.
Deciding that I could check in with someone who is perhaps has a client who's interested in working with me. You know, I had been looking to see, I had been looking for a response from her, a more recent response, but I finally decided, well, why don't I just say, checking in and hope your December's going well and whatnot. And she responded right away saying she hadn't heard anything more from the client, and the client was having some staffing issues, and so probably it would be the new year, which makes sense. You know, December is busy enough, and it gets some surprise glitches.
Okay. I don't need to be rude, but I don't need those details. But you've told me some great stuff. That day, you were in action. You were going for your intentions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely momentum. So when you look at a before Barb and an after Barb, what would you say was the difference between how you would typically be versus how you experienced yourself that day?
I realized that I could take some control of these situations, that, as they say, I was leaving money on the table, and that I wanted it.
Yeah. Give me that money. Give me that love.
Yes. And a little bit of it was, oh, gee, it's December, and, okay, how am I going to say this mindfully? The IRS will not look kindly on my year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't even know what that means, but go ahead, finish.
That I haven't made enough money. this year.
So the IRS couldn't care less about that. IRS, do you care?
Well, if I keep taking a loss and deducting losses, they start.
Okay. I don't want to go there. Okay. I got the picture. So you took control because you were clearer about what you knew was what was in your control, correct?
Yes.
So that's a very important reference point for all of us. And the more we give ourselves permission to look for where we do have control, where we do have influence, where there are some steps that can still be taken, the more we will be in action, we will be in momentum, okay? So that's the learning there. Did you see what I'm saying, Barb?
Yes.
So yes. I what you did was fantastic because you said, I'm going to put some subtext to what you've told us. You basically had a desire to make money, a desire to get some response for all the effort you've been putting out in studying with all these different people and, you know, doing all the right things and doing the best you could, and you just weren't going to accept this breaks on kind of reality, right?
Right.
So you then look to see, all right, so what can I do? And who do I need to be? I'm adding that. Because whether you knew it or not, when you made the decision to be, I'm just checking in, some part of you made a decision of how you were going to show up. Because you could have shown up being really heavy-handed and desperate and needy and angry at the world that where the heck is this woman? What is, you know, this is wrong, right? But you didn't do that. You chose to be a lovely, light, beautiful Barb, right? So you made some decisions that you were going to go into action and you're going to choose who you're going to be in the matter, which is fantastic. The other thing that happened here was that you valued what you have to offer. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And that really is the driving force of all the other pieces that you mentioned. Great. So, good for you. Any other momentum? That incidences or evidences, indications of momentum?
I spoke with the company that I've been speaking with, and they sent me an editorial assessment, sort of a quiz for me to do so that they can see how they could place me as a proofreader or first-level editor. Katrina reached out to two or three publishers she knows and heard from one and then connected us, and I'm going to be speaking with that person on Monday.
Regarding what? I mean, what?
I'm not sure.
But what I mean is... What I mean is, how is that an indication of momentum? I want to follow the line here. Can you speak to me?
I guess I see it as evidence of the magic.
Yes, that opportunities are happening.
Yeah.
That there's a conversation going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by that I mean, that was very nebulous. By that I mean that you're in, that people are coming forward to support you, give you ideas, open up doors for you. Yes?
Yes.
That is totally momentum. Exactly. Anything else? Any more momentum over there? Let's hear it.
I think that's it for now.
That's wonderful. Okay, let's go back to you, my dear Mary. Now that you've heard this, are there any other momentum that you can give us?
Well, one of the new clients I got yesterday was someone that I have known for a while, but she's never actually hired me or paid me for anything. We've had conversations, and I always thought that we complement each other. And I felt it was a huge leap in the momentum that she was the first one to say, I want your offer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That is momentum. And she did pay for it, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay, so you gals can expect that I'm going to be asking this question with each of our sessions, because it gives you that much more excitement to be that much more courageous and to be that much more in action, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. So let's move on. Let's just do a quick review of some of the things that we're tracking here. Number one is what I would like to hear are the experiences that were benefits that came from you using your soul alignment protocol since our last class. So that means you did it and you experienced something wonderful, either later in the day or right after doing it. So who'd like to talk about your soul alignment protocol experiences?
Well, I definitely used mine yesterday.
Yeah.
And I already expounded on what a great day it was.
Right. Was there a before and after moment that you could share with us of how you were feeling before you activated it again? And what shift you noticed, if there was any?
Well, before I activated it, I was just reviewing my notes, and I was like, oh, I hope I don't cough. I hope I don't. And then I looked myself in the mirror and said, okay, this is when you need your grounding cord. This is when you need to call in all of your guides and angels. So go through the steps.
Perfect.
And when I was done with that, I was calm and confident and had a great, great time.
Yes, you did. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm asking about. So you are giving me the kind of answer I'm looking for as to, you know, why bother with this stuff? And so that's an example of why bothering is a good thing. So, how about you, Barb, between last time and this session?
I have been putting down my grounding cord sort of throughout the day, and not just when I'm doing the full alignment.
That's fabulous. Let me just interrupt you there. And so when you do just that, what do you notice?
The fact that I'm thinking to do it pleases me. And that I know what I'm sending down, and I know what I'm breathing in. The struggle that I have been having with what is my project, I have tried to send down my grounding cord. The replacement hasn't always been a clear answer, but I recognize that there's fear and negativity in that.
Yeah, and so what do you do when that becomes part of your aware? What do you do when you are aware of that?
Well, I send it down my grounding cord. But as I mentioned in the Facebook post, I was having trouble visualizing the symbol of my project because I wasn't sure anymore what it was.
Well, that's fair.
That's been a struggle. And even though I try to send that down the cord, it doesn't really want to go.
Right. It doesn't really want to go because this is a very good point that you're raising as, the reason that reviewing these techniques is so important is because we have to customize them depending upon what's going on in our life. And the only way that we can really get to use these tools to the max is by having these kinds of go out and live life and come back and let's talk about it, right?
Right, right.
So the reason that it's not going down is because the replacement that you think you need to have is still not available to you. It's too big of a leap. Too big of a leap. So in a situation like that, where there's a difficulty in really releasing it down the grounding cord because it just keeps sucking back up again, God, what a moment, is because you either need to ask yourself or ask your intuition, what is the lesson that you are to learn? What is the lesson you are to learn? Because your higher being, your higher self, the wisdom of who you are, if you are to learn a certain lesson and you're not learning it, you're not getting the deeper layers of the importance of something, it's going to keep coming back, right?
Yeah, right.
So when you find that you can't release a mood or a circumstance, and Mary, is like the rock star of this one, is you keep going through and asking, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently? What is it that I need to understand about this? What is it that this is telling me? Isn't that what's happened with you, Mary?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's one thing, Barb and Mary, is that when you are unable to really release something, it keeps coming back, is to look for asking for the lesson. That's number one. The other thing is to make it a smaller replacement. Now, by that I mean that you can, it's hard to put into words, you can breathe in as a replacement a relaxation. I breathe in relaxation that I don't quite know the answer yet, but I know the answer is coming. Something like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you could say that you're breathing in expecting it will come at the right time.
Ah, yes.
Or you could breathe in that I love myself just the way I am, and I know that everything is just fine in my world. Something like that. That is gentle and self-loving and allows for the fact that you don't have the answer yet. Does that make sense? Do you both understand the principle of what I just said?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So please paraphrase back this last point that I made so I can hear how it lands for both of you, please.
dealing with struggles that won't go down the grounding cord, even though consciously trying to do that. I ask, what am I to learn? What do I need to understand or to do differently? And breathe in self-love and relaxation and recognize that the answers will come at the right time.
Right.
And it reminds me of when you have said that you know your guides are there even if you're not exactly experiencing them. You're confident that they are there.
Yes.
The phrase, please, hon.
Mary?
Yes. That's it. To be compassionate with yourself when you keep coming up against the same thing that you thought you had taken care of, but realizing that it's another layer, you know, it's more sophisticated or intense, and approaching it in small increments, manageable, and asking for help from the guides to find the solution.
Right. And always coming up with breathing in, I love myself and all is well in my world, is a really good thing to have in the mix anyway as a substitute for what you're releasing. Okay, good, great. Let's move on. So the next question is the mindfulness bell. How is that going for you? And when the bell goes off, I'm going to be giving you a different, another in the home play, another focus when the bell goes off. So let's hear what you are now doing when you hear the mindfulness bell. Who wants to go first?
Well, I consciously acknowledge that it's the mindfulness bell, and I take some deep breaths, and I ask my guides what I need to know right then, and then my higher self, what do I need to do in my project right now to bring it to successful completion.
And, wonderful.
That works well if I'm actually working on it at the time. I have the right answer.
And if you're not working on it at the time, what do you do? Barb?
think about what small step I could actually be taking, where I could exercise some control.
Fabulous. How is that working for you?
Sometimes I respond to that, and sometimes I say, well, I can't do that right now.
Okay. And when that happens, when you can't do it right now, how do you capture what you have gotten so that you honor the intuitive message?
It often becomes a note to myself.
Exactly. Do you write down those notes?
Yep. Because I don't want to lose them, and it's very easy for me to lose thoughts.
Yes. So you absolutely should have, I've mentioned this before, some sort of pocket notebook, so that we can capture these great ideas, because the more your intuition knows and your guides know that you are capturing this information, the more you're going to be given. Do you see what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Because it's like when you work with guides, if you don't do what they say, then they're going to back off. Now, that's not what we're talking about here, but it's an example that as long as we're honoring and responding to what's being given to us, we will be given more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. How about you, Mary? What's been happening with you using the mindfulness bell? What do you think when it goes off, et cetera?
When the mindfulness bell goes off, I'm brought back to the present moment to answer the question, what do I need to know right now for my project? And if I'm doing something else, I try and write it down, the answer that I get. Once a day, doing the breathing exercise to receive my intention and asking, I wonder what my next thought will come from, and waiting to get the message. And that's been interesting in that it comes back to the message is write your own stuff and pay attention to what's going on around you.
Very good. Very good. And so with regards to that, what's the difference between when you ask what's the next step on your project versus what does my higher self want me to know at this time, or whatever your wording is on that?
The difference is very specific about my project, and it's being very micromanaging. This section needs this information.
Yeah.
And other being in the present moment, it's like you're doing a great job with this, but I don't want you to forget about the details for the overall project, the overall whatever I was in for the last few days. It's been the talk.
Yeah. Okay, good. As long as you get a feeling for when you want to use one versus the other, because you do notice a difference. That's the important thing.
Yes.
Great. All right, so now let's move on to the next thing that I want to know how it's going, and that is, did the two of you do the part of the home play where you reviewed the objections from your client enrollment handout as well as the mindset review that I asked you to just keep focusing on so it really gets into your nervous system and your beliefs? So let's hear about that. I'd like to hear about the entrepreneur positive mindset, and I'd like to hear about the objections, just reading them every day, preferably, whatever you did.
Well, I found that they, going over those concepts, helped me put people's faces on them, that something that if I had a conversation with someone that I had more connection and confidence around what I was going to do the next time I had that kind of a conversation.
And when you did, if you did, have someone bring that up again at another date, what did you notice might have changed within you, if anything?
That I was more prepared and had a deeper compassion for leaning in to really listen to what it was that they were saying underneath the, you know, I don't have the money, and or my being not, my having adjusted my attitude to not being just this needy person, that I was genuinely there to serve and to help them see what it was that they were being blocked by and how we could work together to eliminate it, alleviate it.
So was there an instance where that you could give us where in the past when they came up with that objection, things didn't go well, and now that you've been really taking in this as a skill of what to say, that it came around for a better result for you?
Well, in the past, I would, it would take someone saying, oh yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but I couldn't afford it right now. And when I'd ask them how much they could afford, they would give me something really ridiculous.
Lame.
I'd accept
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And now if it's for a specific block of time and it's not outrageous to pay for that block of time at once, I don't have a, they're not serious enough if they're asking for a payment plan. And I don't pursue working with them because they're not really serious.
Great. Have you had an instance, that's fabulous, because you now are holding yourself in higher esteem, right?
Right. I've established my boundaries.
Yes. Do you have an example for us of an objection where now that you have more of a roadmap of what to say, that using the objection, new languaging, had you saved the sale? Do you have any of those examples?
No.
Okay. So right now it sounds like the objection win that you have is that you realize that this their commitment either to you or to this was not there and you weren't going to waste any more of your time. Is that it?
That's it.
Perfect. Well, for you, that's huge because that's what you're working on healing, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Bless you, girl. You did it. Okay.
May I ask you a question, Mary? I just wanted to make sure that I heard it correctly. If they want a payment plan, meaning they don't want to pay up front in full, that's when you would think that they weren't very serious.
Well, when it was for a 2-hour block that's normally $297 and that was an offer for the event of $197, they were already getting a discount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that it just that from the energy, it was like, yeah, it's a good idea, but I got the impression that she really didn't think that she was going to get value for her $197.
So it's already a sale price. It's already
it's already a sale price.
And I get you. Thank you.
Amen. And I think I told you both the response that I had learned from Bill Barron in his enrollment course where he gave us an example, yeah, I'm pretty sure I did, in our client enrollment intensive, where if somebody asked him for a discount, he came back to that person and essentially said, well, let me ask you this. If you were to buy from somebody who you asked for a discount and they said, sure, I'll discount it down to this, versus somebody who said, well, who would you rather get the product from? Somebody who knows their worth and knows the changes and the transformation and the value that you're going to get and that it's worth the price? Or somebody who's going to just give you a discount? Which of those two would you really feel confident to buy from? Remember I told you about that role playing?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and so I'm sure that has taken root in you a little bit, huh, Mary?
Yes, it has.
Good. Okay, Barb, how about you with regards to eating, drinking, sleeping, the entrepreneur mindset principles so that they embed in your DNA, as well as the pursuing the objection so you get the mindset and the some words as to what to say, some scripting as to what to say.
Well, my mindset work has been primarily the I have something of value to offer to the right person so that I don't get so worried that I'm never going to find the right person.
Yeah.
And I need to work more on scripting for the objections because I am very prone to, you know, take a person at their word. And in the past, I have said what my price was, and a person said, oh, well, I can't afford that. And so then I discounted it. But then I, I deliver on it, but I'm resenting it.
Yes. Yes. So just as a rule of thumb for both of you, and I use this when I learned it, is when they say something like, I can't afford it, or I have to think about it, you can always jump in and say, really, tell me more about that. Like we talked about this in the client enrollment class and in the objection section. That's one of the things that you can always say to soften the discomfort that you might be feeling and to buy yourself time to get grounded and to remind yourself that they're in fear because they're getting ready to make some changes. And that's what people do when they are in fear and they're getting ready to make changes, especially if it's big changes. Big changes includes money. So there's a lot of energy that is getting tweaked, and you want to be coming from a place of knowing that this is all part of the transformational roadway, and you are sincerely curious. Remember I mentioned that in our class, both of you, do you remember that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's another one for you to, like, memorize so that it's just right there at the tip of your tongue when it comes to objections. Really? Huh. Please tell me more about that. And just let them talk. And you get back to center and use all the things that you've learned, including the mindset. So just wanted to remind you about that. Okay.
That feels kind of intrusive to me, and so I have to work. Mm-hmm. I have to work that through.
Well, Mary, why don't you coach her? What do you have to say to Barb to help her with it feeling her quintessential hard sell, sleazy, and all that other stuff?
I didn't say the S word.
I know you didn't. However,
it was implied.
However,
it was implied.
If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's still a duck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So go ahead, Mary. Yeah.
This is an opportunity for you to be of service to who's in front of you, and being sincerely curious is not intrusive. It is a gift you are giving them of helping them dig deeper and saying something like, that's very interesting, I'd like to hear more, is by no means intrusive. Because you're genuinely interested in what they have to say.
So if I say, well, I can't afford it, and you say, I'd like to hear more about that, and I say, well, I don't have the money. You know, what more is there to say?
But if we went back to when you rated how much you want this from 1 to 10, and you said 8.5, has that changed in the 5 minutes since we talked about how much you wanted to accomplish this goal?
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the money, you had indicated that you would do this today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just would like to talk about what else is going on. That something you want 8.5 points worth, and the fact that you would do it right now. I'm curious.
Very good. Yeah, let me just jump in. That's excellent. Now, the thing that is the mindset for you to really work on, Barb, in addition to everything that Mary said that was absolutely right on, is you have lost track of the value of what it is that you're offering. The more you dig your heels in on reminding yourself what the value is of what you're offering for the right person, then there is no invasiveness. And the way that Mary reminded you of other pieces of what we've discussed in the enrollment process,
right,
that in addition to you reminding yourself of why this thing that you're offering is going to save them a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of emotional anguish maybe, who knows, a lot, you're saving them from lost opportunities. All of this plays in there.
Right.
So please listen back to this portion of the training as well, because this is where your healing edge is right now, is to get this one resolved. And you can work with your grounding cord. You can work with your guides as to how to really get this resolved within yourself. And this is good, because the more you drill down into the value that you have to bring, the more you'll be able to help others drill down to the truth of what's really going on with them.
Okay.
And in relationship to you having what they need now. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's move on. But I'm very glad that you brought that up, and it was right for you to bring it up and always bring these things up. And great job, Mary. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay, now, the next thing that I want to talk about is, did any of you do a client enrollment session since our last session? Was that a yes?
No.
Okay. How about you, Barb?
No.
Okay. So, we're going to have our focus start to move soon into more lead generation and really going for client enrollment conversations. That's part what this email campaign is going to be about. So what I'm not going to do that tonight. However, I asked you to bring to the party here your client enrollment workbook, because I really do want you to look through the steps of the enrollment process and how you go from having them tell you what it is that's their ideal life to why it's important to them, those things, so that you really get a feel for their model of what they really want and how much they really want it, to you finding the right moments, using your intuition to ask them how committed are they to having that, to going into where their pain is and why they haven't been able to resolve things, why they don't already have that ideal life scenario, to you giving them an idea of the mini plan that you would offer them should they decide to work with you. You know, if they were to work with you, this is what I believe that we would use as priority focuses, that kind of languaging, to asking them what was of value to them in the conversation to you saying that you do have, now that you've gotten to know them and their world, a offer that you would like to tell them about. May I share that with you now? And then you're into the enrollment mindset. You're putting yourself as the expert. You already know that stuff is going to come up for them, and your job is to be curious, and your job is to hold the space as they start veering off the cliff, if they do veer off the cliff. Okay? And then you have your payment clarity. You must have your payment clarity. You know, it's going to be this much money for a full pay. It's going, Mary, darling, can you move that a little bit away from your microphone? You know, You have to be clear about what your full pay is, what the savings is if they do the full pay. And then you tell them what the payment plan is, and you tell them what the fast action bonus is, or the intuition decisiveness reward amount is, if they go ahead and move forward with you in this conversation. So those numbers have to be, you know, like if you have to repeat that whole set of three options in front of the mirror so it comes out with confidence, then practice it. And then it's getting your payment where you're not waiting for anything. You're not waiting. You do not give anybody an invoice. That's a no-no. They either give you a credit card right then and there, or you don't really have the sale. And maybe they will follow through with you in a follow-up conversation, and maybe they won't. I mean, people get weird, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I really would like you to go over this client enrollment steps, and if you have any questions about any of the steps where you notice that you're feeling insecure, you don't understand, just like you did brilliantly, Barb, by saying, I feel that that's a little invasive, then please write to me in the Facebook group, because we're now off into making sales, okay? Mm-hmm. I also uploaded in the file section what you had gotten as the post-class document when you did the client enrollment intensive, and that's the self-evaluator handout. So yep. You've got it from your client enrollment download page, but to make it easy, I've already just uploaded it in the Files tab on our Spiritual Power for Success Momentum page. It's right there. And I'd like you to start reading that over and getting familiar with it, because this will help you to flow. Like Mary said that her soul alignment protocol is now flowing. That's the way we want you to be with the client enrollment process. And by looking at the things that you're going to reflect upon after the fact, will help you to become more skillful. Okay, so that's what I want to say about that. Any questions about what I'm asking you to do with regards to going through your client enrollment handout and also the post-client enrollment self-evaluator handout?
Nope.
No.
Okay, great. All right, so with the remaining time, here's what I want to do. And let me just think about this. What I do want you to go ahead and send out your emails and invitations for your email campaign. Now, here's the thing. Let me just give you both another overview to understand how to relate to these three different emails, okay? You don't, Mary, I think maybe I wasn't clear enough, because your three emails were pretty much exactly the same. And I did not mean that. What I meant was that what we want to do is to have the information about nuggets, information marketing, where you're giving them something new with each email. However, what stays the same is the bio and the name of the offer, the invitation to have the offer of meeting with you. So with you, Mary, there are a couple of things that I wanted to point out. In your first email, you talk about there's a four-letter word that I've discovered over the years, et cetera, et cetera. However, you don't come right out and say that the four-letter word that you're referring to is blog. A person figures it out as they move along because you say it's the topic of writing a blog. But that's not the same as there's this four-letter word. Okay, here's the word. It's blog. Do you see what I mean?
You mean in the email subject line?
No, in the body.
Oh, in the body. Okay.
Yeah, your first paragraph is a four-letter word. It's something that they try to manage, wipe out, check out, blah, blah, blah. And then you jump to the next paragraph, which is it's the topic of writing a blog. That doesn't say the four-letter word is blog.
Oh, okay.
So my suggestion is that before, at the end of that first paragraph, after you've built up in a really nice way, what people do with this mysterious, unknown four-letter word, then you say, the four-letter word is blog, and then you might do B-L-O-G if you want to. Then you go into the next paragraph heading, it's the topic of writing a blog. Okay?
Okay.
The other thing for you, Mary, is that, and Barb, I have to look through yours again as well on this point, is that what you want to make sure that you do in these emails is to give three very clear three to six clear benefits that they will get from the consultation strategy session itself. And that did not come across clearly with what you wrote, Mary, unless I missed something. I of course, see the part about establish yourself as an expert, build relationships online, discover your unwritten story, but that doesn't say that what you will get from this consultation is X, Y, and Z. Was there a reason why you did not do that, Mary? Was it not clear to you?
I thought that you will get from this. I didn't repeat what are you longing for, but that's where I was going.
Yeah. So I think that what you need to do is to be clearer about the impact that you want to make with each section. So are you longing for, yes, those are great questions. However, what you want to do is let's jump to the Facebook group and let's scroll down to what I had uploaded of an example that I gave about my own page. If we go scroll down to December 1st for class number 4, remember, if you guys see that there?
Yes.
Mary, thanks, Barb. Are you there?
Where was
Mary?
It December
1st. It says for class number 4. Okay. So, ready for your spiritual power and purpose success activation complementary strategy. So if you click on that graphic, it expands. And these are all the things that they are going to get from that complimentary session. So for you, Mary, So for you, Mary, you would want to go back to your content and state, you know, here is the Unleash Your Story activation session, and here is what you will get from our time together, you know, and make it a bold title, benefits, results, whatever you want to say, from your activation session. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The other thing for you, Mary, is the bio should be, you know, again, another heading that stands out. Maybe you were planning on doing that, but I didn't see it in this copy, so I just wanted to make sure that it stands out as about Mary, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, when you went from all of the different emails, you pretty much did a copy and paste. And I'm sorry, again, if I was not clear about that. What you want to do is you gave that HubSpot nugget for email number one. I'm suggesting that for email number two, you could say, last email I told you about what HubSpot had to say about this, and now I have another nugget for you. Did you know? And then you could give another nugget that if you want to put it in a question form where you're going to give them another piece of information that basically says why it's so important for people to blog.
Okay.
And then in your third email, you could say something like, now you know about what HubSpot had to say, and now you know about dot, 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 and here's another nugget that you may not have realized, and then give them a third nugget. So each email is a little different.
All right.
And as far as, so that's what I wanted to say about that. Then you jump from talking about the importance of blogging, but the name of your activation session is about your story. So there's a separate theme going on here, blog versus story. And so what I would suggest that you do is, let's go back to your email number one, is that you say something after you mention the HubSpot nugget. Talk about the importance of writing your story and the value of writing your story in a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could suggest to them that it could be a single blog about your story, or it could be a series of blogs that bring out the gems of your story through a sequence of blogs. This is you talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could say, so now you see the power of your story and the importance of blogging. Here is my invitation to help you do just that. You know, that would be your segue line.
Okay.
Or you can, and you know, in the three emails, you can switch it up a little bit and say, I know some of you don't even know where to begin with something like this. Well, I'm here to help. I'm inviting you to my Unleash Your Story activation session. And then find another way of saying it a little differently for your third email, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then in your email number one, let me see here, you talk about you will be amazed at what you will uncover while exploring the wisdom of your own words. Engagement happens when your content speaks to your community, when you are clear about who you are. You see that paragraph there?
Yes, yes.
I would suggest that you make that a series of bullets. that you come up with some heading that would summarize what they're about to read in those bullets, because those are all very important points that you mentioned there. So it would be
okay.
A list, it would be a list of the value and the results that people will accomplish by writing their story and writing a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, for email number two, your subject line, the things millionaires do in their business and the things you can do too. That's long. So my suggestion is you play around with that. And one suggestion I came up with is, for a subject line, here's what millionaires do, dot, 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 you can too.
Okay.
Something like that. So it's shorter, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the suggestions. And then for email number three, whatever your subject line was there, do you see what you have there?
Yes.
My suggestion there is that you, again, to make it shorter and punchier, you know, it has more punch to it, you might consider something like, for the subject line, who cares, where should I focus my content, Or if you don't like the who cares, you might just put, what should I focus on? Or where should I focus my content? Or something like that, but just short, right?
Okay.
Then, still on email three, after it says it's the topic of writing a blog, you start off the next sentence talking about stress in the mind of business owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem there for me is that it doesn't have enough of a lead into the topic of stress. So my suggestion there is right after where it's the topic of writing a blog, you say something like, yes, that's the four-letter word that creates so much stress. The topic of writing a blog, yes, that's the four-letter that creates so much stress, et cetera. Then when you talk about, and this is true for all of us, you too, Barb, when you talk about hurry, only a few spots are available on my calendar, you would want to put a time limiter in there.
Okay.
And excuse me. And what you would do there is I have X number of spots left and please schedule by blah blah blah. Before all the spots are taken or something like that.
Okay.
And going back to the Facebook group, and, you know, this is true for you too, Barb, on that same December 1st, one where I gave the benefits of my complimentary session, I mentioned to put your marketing message in there. And I didn't see your marketing message anywhere in your emails that I was aware of. So be sure to have your marketing message somewhere in all three emails so that you're able to keep things tied together, where people are getting to know your brand more through your marketing message, and that they're getting to know that you're the one that talks about story and you're the one that talks about blogs. So that's why I'm suggesting that you keep your marketing message in there, or put your marketing message in there. Okay?
Okay.
So this here, I'm torn because we're running out of time, and I want to work with Barb. Basically, I want to point out one other thing that's true for both of you, and then we'll jump into yours, Barb. I had put in here a screenshot of the email structure just to remind you that I didn't see any client stories in yours either, and I didn't see anything in yours on client stories, Barb, as well, right? Did I miss that in yours? Okay. So I'm recommending that you put in a client story, even if it's just one per email, but put something, you know, like with you, Mary, see if you can remember what the person said at the event yesterday, and, and you know, use her initials if you don't have time to call her up and say, hey, listen, I'm about ready to do a campaign. Can I use your testimony? If you can't get a hold of her, then just put her initials. Nobody's going to know who she is. You know, put her initials and put a title of what she does. Nobody's going to know who she is. So you're not breaching any kind of ethics, right?
Right.
So have three separate client stories or client cases or a couple of lines of a testimony for each email. That's true for you too, Barb.
Yes.
I'm sure you, okay. And also the marketing message for you too, Barb, in there.
Well, what I use is manage copyright, don't let it manage you. So I think I put that in all three.
Well, where is it? It needs to be, well, just don't answer that. Just have it be at the very top of the email so it people know that that's a signature statement connected to you. I see it later on in your email one in the middle. However, for the purpose of having it be a repeated presence where people get that that's what you're all about, it's better to keep it in the same place at the top of each email, is my opinion. Okay?
Okay.
So the two of you can look at that screenshot that I uploaded today so that you can use it as a bit of a checklist, including the application idea if you, you know, want to play with that. Even if you were to ask just one question, you know, where you say, you know, here's my offer for our strategy session, and I have one question for you. Just hit reply. What is your biggest challenge right now? Or what do you want to know? What do you want to stop worrying about regarding fill in the blank? You know, and you know, maybe nobody will answer, but at least you put it in there. And if anything, maybe somebody will answer, and you'll get a response. I mean, I'm leaving that up to you because you know, as you get more and more into the world of selling, you're going to need applications. So you might as well start now if you want to. Right? Is that a fair assessment on my part?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, it's in your future. Let's put it that way. Okay, and the other thing that I uploaded was a screenshot from one of Bill Barron's handouts. actually, I'll put that in there so that he gets credit. The consultation benefits. When you are forming your benefits of what people will absolutely get when they walk away from their time with you, here are some of the things that he offers as a way to how to focus your bullets. Do you see where it says create your five benefits below? I mean, you can use his, you can use mine, but basically what you're doing is you're tying in the connection between what you know they are probably concerned about, which is why they would take the time to talk to you, versus this is what they will absolutely get when they hang up the phone with you, regardless if they move forward with you or not. Those are the two separate content pieces you want to make sure you touch on in your email. Right? Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Okay. So your email has these many different pieces. It has the piece of, are you wondering about this, this, and this, which you did a magnificent job with, Barb, just wonderful. And then giving some education, you know, to help them get a bigger picture of the world that you're the expert in. And you are inviting them to see how they're doing in that arena. And this is what they're going to get when they talk to you. So here's my invitation for you to discuss it with me. And by the way, here's one question that I think you ought to answer before we get to talk. What is your biggest challenge in fill in the blank? Or what do you wish was no longer weighing on you? Fill in the blank. You know, something like that. Make it one question if you're willing to go that step of the application where they just hit reply and they answer you. And then you've got your case study, your simple testimony, and your bio, and you're done.
And the reason I asked if you, for examples from you of how you had used it, it seemed as if that list was just overwhelming and there would be, it would be just too long. People's attention span, and if they have to scroll, they won't scroll and stuff like that.
Okay, so each of those compartments, each of those segments are necessary. And what will happen is they'll jump to the one that's important to them. That's why sales pages are, what shall I say, they're almost neurotically long, you know, is because people go and look for different things to help them identify with whether or not it's a value for them and to determine what they're going to get.
It's important to have very clear sections.
Headlines, yes. Very clear headlines. I added those other screenshots so that you can use them as guidelines in putting your three emails together. Now, for you, Barb, is there anything about, other than there's so much to cover, they're not going to read it all, is there anything that you want to ask me about as you were composing your emails?
Of course, there's always the question of pain, and if they don't know they got pain, they don't know they've got pain. And so I sort of have to use sort of the fear approach, I guess, planting some doubt in their minds. I don't see this really as a holiday offer that would appeal to people as a holiday thing. It should appeal to them any time of year.
Let me stop you there. That's a very interesting point. It's a good point. So you could have it still be a holiday offer because people want to feel that they've gone as far as they can before the end of the year to handle matters that are important. So you would work with the theory of, you know, get your ducks in line for the new year. Think about loose ends that could cost you money, your reputation, or whatever, your marketing. Do you see what I mean? The holiday offer is that it's going to be holiday pricing.
Ah.
You could go that route. It could be the wanting to feel like they have really been thorough in nurturing their business and nurturing their copy so that they know that they don't have to drag that into the new year. Are any of these helping, Barb?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Now, I have a question for you. In your email number 2, number 5, I would just suggest that when you give your answers, you know, the true, false, etc., that you maybe make a little headline that says, now don't cheat or whatever, but here, you know, let them know that those are the answers, because it took me a couple of seconds to figure out what all that was.
Okay. Yep.
And since you were playing this wonderful little game with them, it was just so delightful what you were doing. It would be great if you could find a graphic on, you know, Google Images and or someplace where you know, of course, that there's no copyright infringement, to have that section stand out as a fun part of the email.
Hmm.
You know, like a cartoon something, or you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And then when you asked, how did you do, now you may be thinking, all of this was just fabulous. I have nothing to add. The only thing is with just see if you want to, like with Mary, add a different point that would be an educational marketing nugget, something new with each of those emails. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can carry the theme, and this is true for you too, Mary, now that I think of it, is you could say that I'll be sending you another email in a couple of days and look for the new nugget in that one, or there'll be a surprise nugget for you in that one as well, or something so they know more emails are coming. They know that they're going to be getting a tip or a point. And you really want to make the email be very clear about, come talk to me. This is a holiday activation session, end of the year. You don't want to bring it into the new year. I mean, the purpose of this thing is for them to talk to you. Is there anything about your 3 emails, Barb, that you want me to critique in particular?
Well, I don't really have an offer behind them.
Well, you're asking for a strategy session.
Right.
So that's right now the offer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the offer of the email is, the call to action of the email is the offer of talking to you, right?
Yes.
Now, you raise a critically important point. These things that you're talking about in here, you know, about your what's on your website and what else do you have here? ignoring this could cost you big money. And where's your, maybe on number three, how are you protecting your gold mine? You need to have some kind of offer that would solve any of the weaknesses that they might have in those kinds of areas.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would suggest you come up with something really easy, you know, like a 2-hour, an hour and a half evaluation where you're going to discuss these things. Now, you don't put that in the email. That's just for you so that there is a flow to your energy. These conversations are to get you sales. So if you were to create a 2-hour holiday package, that's for like $397 or something like that, and or $497, whatever your intuition tells you, and then for you to go ahead and when you do have these conversations, for you to have it either a lump time where they do the 2 hours all at once, or they go ahead and work with you for an hour, and then you set up a follow-up call in 2 weeks or 1 week, whatever you feel is the likely thing that's going to happen. If you don't think you're going to use 2 hours with them, then set it up for an hour and a half, and in that hour and a half, find out overall the kinds of things that they will need in the future, like we talked about. Have you ever in the past or see in the future that you're going to need a ghostwriter, right? And so do you feel like you know how to put that offer together?
Yes, and what I have to be careful of is during the strategy session not giving the value that's in the offer.
I'm sorry, what?
I have to be careful to not give all that value in the strategy session.
Oh, God, yes. Okay,
so I really have to work on that.
Well, maybe you and Mary can set up some role-playing time together. But here's the mindset to help you, because that's a tough one for all of us. I was guilty of that for so many years. It was just painful, painful, painful. What you're doing is you are asking them questions to find out where they are. So the value for them is clarity. That they, and this is important for you guys to listen to this recording again and again with some of the points that I'm raising here, some of the scripting that I'm giving you here. The way that you can catch yourself from giving them a paid session content in a non-paid discovery session, the difference is you're finding out where they are so that you can suggest your services to handle those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are not there to find out where they are and then for you to give them little nibbles of solutions with the hopes that they're going to see that they really need more exposure to you.
Right.
Because some people will take those nibbles and they'll say, okay, I'm going to go off and do this. This is great. Thank you so much. And you never hear from them again.
Right.
But I really do suggest that the two of you work together and do some role playing if you would make the time, you know, if you can make the time,
mm-hmm.
where you listen and follow along on that client enrollment self-evaluation sheet and really find out how you feel as they are talking to you as a potential client, using those segments of the self-evaluation sheet to get really confident, and also to watch out that the two of you are not giving away your paid session content in a non-paid evaluation session, right?
Right.
So is that helpful to the two of you to put it in that light?
Yes.
Okay. So I would suggest that you look through these posts that my assistant and I put up regarding the five benefits and that section of irresistible offer email, social media posts, email structure, and just also go back down to what we did last week, and look at those screenshots as well so that you really get a feeling for the flow of this, you know, how this funnel works, what you need to have in the funnel so that they go from step one, which is they just are getting this email from you, to actually taking action to talk to you. That is huge. That is a huge leap. Most people are busy. Most people don't want to feel what they know they need to do. They'd rather just keep procrastinating. So you have to get the full picture of what they need to get a sense of about you and have your technology in place, meaning your calendar, your ability to take money, your clarity about the offer. And then as far as what else I wanted to make sure I reviewed with you, and then we'll wrap up, is that I also had asked you to bring to the party the handout from our class number one. The reason I did that is because I want you to look over those questions about your product or your service that you're offering. You know, go through all of these pages again, to tighten up and get clearer and clean up any gray areas so that you are really strong about what you're offering, what do you believe about what you're offering, and so on like that. Okay, now the class is over. I want to wrap up with what you all got from this session. Now, as far as your project, Barb, do you want to set up a private session with me, or do you want to do it through question and answer or through the Facebook group? We ran out of time, obviously, but I don't want you to be in midair about that. So what would be the best way for you?
Probably to set up a one-to-one session.
Okay, so please do that as soon as possible. I should have, if you can't get access to, tomorrow's Friday. If you're still awake, we can do it after this call tonight for about a half hour. If it's not too late for you, if it's too late for you, then I guess we'd have to wait till next week, which I don't want to do. So
right.
I haven't
had dinner yet.
Okay, so you tell me what you want to do. Just email it to me or do it in the Facebook group, and I'll work with you. We'll figure it out. So let's wrap up with a quick around the room of what the highlights were, what you feel excited about, two things, highlights and what you feel excited about, and we'll call it a night.
Well, I got a lot out of reviewing what we already have, celebrating the milestones and the momentum, and getting clarity about this campaign.
And what are you excited about?
And I have never done a campaign, so I'm excited about doing a campaign.
Right. Good. Thank you. And you should have the emails be about 2 days apart, 3 days apart, something like that.
Okay.
How about you, Barb, dear?
I also liked the discussion of momentum and that that's going to be a repeated question. Because it's nice to be able to focus on that as a success, momentum as a success. And I haven't done a campaign either, so this will be good. This will be good.
Wonderful. And what are you excited about?
Well, having some more ideas about how I can put this forward, that it can be a holiday thing.
Great. Okay, ladies, you rock.
Yay!
And just keep writing in the Facebook group, and I'll respond.
Okay.
And Barb, you let me know when you want to have that session.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All righty. Good night. Thanks for staying over a couple of minutes. Bye bye.
Bye bye.